All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, kicking things off with a little bit of an opening drive. First down. Gentlemen, one of the most intriguing matchups of the NFL schedule that has been announced will be Tom Brady's return to New England in week four, when the all-time passing mark could even be on the line. If everything kind of works out for Tom Brady, by the time they get to that week four matchup, he could be in a place to hit that. So Brady will enter the season with just about 1,100 yards behind Drew Brees for the NFL's career passing record. With the Pats game in week four, he could be in line to break that mark in his return to Foxborough. At his 2020 pace, which was about 289 yards a game, he would finish week four with exactly four more yards than the record. That's a big one that I think a lot of people are looking into.
Yeah. I mean, you play long enough, mm-hmm. you can achieve those records. Longevity is key.
And just how crazy would it be for him to break that record in New England, though? Bill Belichick on the other sideline?
It'd be cinematic.
Wow, that's the perfect word for it.
It'd be cinematic.
No doubt about it. Second down, how about the most in-demand games of the season according to price? The NFL's hottest tickets this season. Number one, the Buccaneers and the Patriots. You can get a ticket for a nice $1,300. Number two, the Ravens and the Raiders. Then the Chiefs at the Raiders. Then the Bears at the Raiders, and then the Eagles at the Raiders. You see a little bit of a common trend there?
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Seems like one of the hottest tickets imaginable will be in that Las Vegas stadium with the nightclub.
Yeah, well,
with
it's
the nightclub.
I mean, it's everything. It's the new stadium. It's Vegas in general. Like, you don't have to sell Vegas in itself, and then, oh hey, give me professional football in Vegas now. Sign me up. I mean, like, I think it's easy. It definitely is. It makes so much sense that the trends you'll see for the amount of fans, and it won't just be their fans. I mean, people will be traveling to this stadium. It'll be It'll be a destination.
Yeah.
Thank God that finally the Titans will get passed as the most traveled to away destination. Thank God. And the second that the Titans play in Las Vegas, I know for a fact I'm going. I don't care where I am in the world. I could be in Beijing and then hop on a flight and go to that game.
It's going to be wild to see that. What is the other stadium that's opening up? Not SoFi. SoFi was last year.
Is there another one?
I don't think there's another one this year. You've got
ended our little run on stadiums, I think.
The Chargers finally opened their new stadium, right?
Well, they're just in SoFi.
No, that's the one you're talking about. Yeah, that's SoFi, yeah.
NFL stadiums opening. Oh, man, I feel like there might be one more.
Could be missing one.
I could be wrong. Oh, we'll go back and make sure we have that going on later. Status of all 32. Never mind. All right, moving on from that right there. Third down. Little NBA news as not one, but two star players going into the playoffs have gone down for their team. Charlie, this is not good for you and I. First, Miami Heat's Victor Oladipo will be having season-ending surgery on his right quadricep tendon, the team announced on Wednesday. Oladipo will have the surgery on Thursday in New York, and the team said there is currently no timetable for his recovery and return to play. Oladipo has been out since injuring his right knee in Miami's win over LA on April 8th. Charlie, how big of a loss is this for your Heat?
I mean, it's disappointing because you thought that maybe that was a guy you were going to get to add for the playoffs and, you know, that he would perform well and then you could look to sign him to a long-term deal. But at the same time, the Heat are playing really good basketball right now. They've kind of found their stride again from last year's playoffs. You know, in the last 10, I believe they are 8-2 or 7-3, 1-3 in a row. So that's not really a big loss. We've been playing without him.
And then Chance, I cannot believe what you did yesterday.
What's up?
You cursed my team, and then immediately after, we had a player go down for the season as well.
Who went down?
J.J. Redick.
Oh.
He's played like three games.
Well, I would also like to say now I'm cursing Brandon's team.
Whoa.
Yep.
Why?
The Celtics.
They're already cursed, Chance.
Yeah, they likely are. They're falling into the pits of the play-in tournament. But I had another bet with our friends at FanDuel.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum.
Uh-oh.
Coming up short. So, Brandon, if you're listening, I now curse your Celtics, too. You already lost. You already lost Jaylen Brown. May you lose and be out of the play-in tournament before you actually get to play in the tournament.
Wow.
So, see ya. You gone.
How much were you going to win on this old five-team parlay right
here? This was a much smaller one than the Luka one, so it's like...
I see you went back to Luka, though.
Yeah, I did. I said he can't have... He's Luka Doncic. Like, come on. You can't go out and not score 20 the next night when playoff...
He's got to.
Yeah, when the play-in tournament is just looming over his head, and they got to win so they can keep the Lakers off their back. And actually, they won and the Trailblazers won last night, so that still keeps the Lakers back, I think, a half a game.
I want them
in the play-in so bad.
Want to what?
I want the Lakers in the play-in so bad.
I think they will just kill the play-in. Who's going to stop them? John Morant? Spurs?
Let's also be honest. If they end up in the play-in, it will be the most poorly officiated game in NBA history, if need be.
I don't buy that, but
LeBron
and AD ain't getting beat by Ja Morant or
the way they're playing right now. They might
or,
be able to.
Or DeMar DeRozan and Deontay Murray.
The Spurs just 40-piece the Bucks the other night. I mean, it could happen, but yeah, I mean, again, if it started to trend that way, like the NBA would absolutely have that game rigged. I have no doubt.
Nah, I don't start the conspiracies.
They need LeBron so bad. Their ratings have absolutely tanked the last 2 years, and if they don't have LeBron, they'll only tank more.
It's going to be interesting. All right, so you have L.A., who's in the 7th spot, Dallas, who's in the 6th spot, one game back. But you also have Portland right there, who has the same exact record as Dallas. So you have 5, 6, and then 7. Oh, my goodness. All right there within one game of each other. And here's in each team... has two games left. The Mavericks will play Toronto and Minnesota on Friday and Sunday. The Lakers will play at Indiana and at New Orleans on both of those games. And then you have Portland, who looks like they close out their season. That will be against Phoenix and Denver. Ooh.
Yep.
Could you see a situation where the Portland Trailblazers could even fall back into that play-in game? And maybe if the Mavericks are only playing the Raptors and the T-Wolves, you got the Lakers playing a couple gimmies and the Pacers and the Pelicans maybe. Do you think there's any way that with only one game separating these teams, you could even have somebody fall back? That's not the Mavericks.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean the Trailblazers. You could definitely have it happen.
That is wild.
It's a tight race in the West right now.
It is. And the crazy thing is, like,
everywhere.
I don't think we're going to see these, you know, see how this wraps up until that final game. Man, it's exciting. In the East, everybody has clinched so far a playoff spot except for the Wizards. The Wizards and the Bulls are the only teams that are still left in a little bit of uncertainty.
Yeah, Bulls need a miracle, though.
They do.
They're pretty much out.
There's a nice little battle going on right now, though, between the Hawks, Heat, and the Knicks. Everyone wants to avoid the 6th seed. Everyone does not want to play Milwaukee. They'd rather play some sort of combination of each other.
So you have the Hawks at number 4. They're sitting at 8.5 games back of the lead. Then you have the Heat at number 5, 9 games back. And then the Knicks at number 6, also 9 games back with the same record overall as the Heat and the Knicks. Mm. Wow. This is awesome, man.
The Hawks have played one more game than the Knicks and the Heat. That's why they're half game up. So that could still go a lot of different ways. The Hawks do have the tiebreaker, though. If there is a three-way tie, it goes to the Hawks. Ooh. If there is a tie between just Miami and Atlanta, it goes to the Hawks. And I think if it's New York and Atlanta, then it could be the Knicks.
There is not a single team right now locked into the top 6 spots of the playoffs that has a worse record than 6-4 over their last 10. So pretty much everybody in the top 6 spots right now for both divisions are playing hot basketball as they're heading in. But then you go down to the play-in tournament, and you have a lot more worse teams that are struggling right now. For instance, Celtics 3-7 in their last 10. You have the Spurs 3-7 in their last 10. You have a couple teams sitting at 5-5, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the Pacers, the Wizards. So there's really a little bit of a difference in between the teams that are struggling for the play-in tournament versus the teams that are already locked in. The teams that are locked in have been playing really well across both conferences in the NBA.
I love that we're getting the same old classic Sacramento Kings late season push to end up a game shy of the playoffs. They do this every year. I mean, they have a roster that looks like it's built to compete. Buddy Hield this year and De'Aaron Fox, you know, two pretty good players. Bagley in there as well. And they underachieve. And then at the very end of the year, they get hot enough to just kind of be around. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're just two games back of the Spurs, who were 3-7 in their last 10. And if I had to guess, I'd say they finished one game back.
This but is going to be...
This offseason again, we'll be like, well, you know, the Kings snuck up at the end of last year. I think they're a team that's ready to take that next step if they can just carry that over.
Well, as much as I'd like to say they underachieve, I think they just... It's just tough. Like, I mean, you got the Warriors or Steph's like playing like a madman, and they're a much better team than they have been over the last couple of years. I mean, with Steph injured and Klay injured, and once they got back, I mean, obviously still no Klay Thompson, but that's a better team. The Mavericks are a better team than them. Memphis is a much better team. Like, I guess maybe they're underachieving for not getting in the play-in game, but like most of these other teams have better talent.
I mean, that's also something like I was thinking about with the Pelicans when they officially got eliminated last night. I was like, man, you know, Zion, they gave them some veterans. They were really trying to, you know, build it to be able to finish in the back half of the Western playoffs. And I was like, I guess that's pretty disappointing. And then you look at the playoffs, though. Well, it's not like they should be better than Utah, Phoenix, both of L.A., Denver, Portland, Dallas, Golden State, or Memphis. Maybe just San Antonio is the only one that you would like to see them be better than. And maybe on, like, the same level as the Grizzlies.
Pelicans are coming though in years to come. I don't know if they'll be a, you know, of anywhere where they can compete for a Western Conference Finals push or anything like that. But years to come, they're going to be good. Zion looks like he's going to be pretty good as long as he can stay healthy, as long as they surround him with some weapons. And like what you said, they're trying to bring in veteran players to surround him. As long as they continue to do that, I think Stan Van Gundy is a good coach for those young guys.
You know what is a crazy stat that I'm looking at right here before we head out of this segment? Out of these 70 games that the Mavs have played, Luka Doncic has led the Mavericks in assists in 60 out of 70 games.
Yeah.
What a crazy stat, man. Crazy stat. Either way, that is a little bit of NBA talk for you right there. A little bit of an opening drive to hit you through some of the NBA NFL talk. Hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to be checking in with two Tennessee head coaches as Josh Heupel made his rounds away the Knoxville media yesterday, and Tony Vitello was on the drive. So we'll talk about a little bit of both head coaches and what they had to say about their teams in Tennessee. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz. It is 11:17 a.m. You got the same number to call in as always, 865-546-8200. Going back to yesterday, Tony Vitello joined the drive for a little bit of a conversation before Tennessee's massive weekend against Arkansas and had a couple of interesting quotes, I thought. You know, he talked about one of the things that he talked about yesterday on that interview was the crowd support. Right, talking about how, man, there's actually been times in his career where Tennessee has packed the house more than they have at any point this season so far, and that makes sense, right? We've had such limited capacity, especially at the beginning of the year and through the beginning of the SEC play and things like that. But he really kind of talked about how, hey, man, during those Vanderbilt series, during the LSU series, it didn't matter that less people were at the ballpark than we've had in the past. There was so much more noise than there's ever been, and that really does juice up the team. He talked a lot about yesterday how the fan support really does help this team and gets them fired up to play. But he also said that one of the big things that Tennessee players will need to do this weekend is control their emotions. It's going to be a very emotional weekend for everybody involved. And he actually pointed back to the Vanderbilt series to kind of highlight that. If you remember, during the play right before Evan Russell's grand slam, I believe it was Luke Lipsius, he was at the plate, and for some reason, maybe it was a walk, maybe it was a hit, maybe something, there was a little bit of added time in between when Lipsius was at the plate and basically advanced to first base, and then when Evan Russell stepped up to the plate. Tony Vitello specifically talked about how there was about a moment in between there where he was able to control his emotions. Something got delayed, so he had a couple extra seconds to just kind of breathe before stepping into the batter's box. Therefore, grand salami. So he really talked about how one of the biggest things for Tennessee was going to be, hey, they haven't been in this position often, right? The city hasn't been in this position often, but we're here now. But you got to be able to control your emotions and not just look at it as, hey, we can't wait for this big series, yeah! It's like, no, this is a business profession, right? Got to stay calm, got to stay focused the entire series long. His exact quote was, there's a lot of hoopla. And the kids need to stay focused. How about that word? Hoopla.
Yeah, you can't get too ahead of yourself and think about the outcome. It has to be
very true.
One game at a time. One game at a time. As cliche as that is, one inning at a time. I mean, because there are a lot of hoopla surrounding the big weekend. There's a lot of potential expectations that could come if you have success and take a couple games from Arkansas. So he's right about that. I mean, it's all about staying focused. I mean, as we talked about in the first segment, I mean, baseball is a lot. I mean, as they've always said, 90% mental, 10% physical. And it's going to be so much about these guys' mindset and just thinking about what they've done all season and taking it day by game.
And here's the other way that the mental aspect –
day by game, game by day.
Sure.
You know what I meant.
Yeah, we know. And Chance, to follow along with your point, you know, and how important it is for the mental aspect of the game to be there. He specifically, again, kind of, and this was in turn with the home crowd conversation, he pointed out how against A&M, and we talked about this, we even played the audio, right? A&M's home crowd is known for the ball five, mm-hmm. ball six, and so on and so forth. He said yesterday on the show, he's even heard that get up to a ball 16 chant. And some of the players on Tennessee's staff, They were handling it in a little bit of a rough way. So he was definitely saying that, yeah, man, that affected our players, just like we know that the legends of Lindsey Nelson, he called them out by name, affected the LSU team. So all that goes to say that if you are going to the stadium this weekend, there is no doubt that that's going to be such a big influence on the game. Got to make sure that the stadium is packed. Got to make sure that the stadium is rowdy.
Mm-hmm. It's an emotional weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's emotional for these players. You know, obviously, you get senior day. That's an added emotion. You get the 100% capacity. You just get, I mean, the expectations of such a big series. You had the emotion from Tony Vitello, you know, playing against his old team. And emotions aren't a bad thing. You just have to be able to channel them correctly.
Sure.
You can't let them overwhelm you or dictate, you know, the way that you carry yourself or play. But certainly, I mean, they're a good thing to have. Like you said, you know, you just avoid letting the hoopla get you off your game.
At the end of the day, you're
still just playing the same baseball that you were playing when you were 5 years old in your backyard.
The rat poison, like Chance said. I like that.
Yeah, a la Nick Saban.
Tony Vitello had one quote on the show yesterday. He said this, "The real thing going on at Arkansas for me is my man Kevin Copps. I don't know if their pitchers are as dynamic as Rocker and Leiter on the starting side of things, but they're still on the number one team for a reason. And on their offense, man, they can swing the bat, and they can swing for home runs. And that's something that we've actually talked about a little bit this week on the show. When you're talking about the number one team in the nation, there's not a lot of weaknesses that you can point to. But there has to be something on the bottom end of all the different pieces that they put together. And if you want to find that, it's likely the starting pitching. Tennessee cannot send Arkansas into their bullpen with any kind of substantial lead. That's going to be tough, and Kevin Copps really probably is one of the pitchers of the year, if not the pitcher of the year, who can close out their game like nobody else in college baseball. Tony Vitello specifically pointed to him as somebody they're going to have to watch out for. But Tennessee's really going to need to start these games with a little bit of electricity. And again, that factors into the crowd, that factors into the noise that's being made. But if Tennessee can jump on the Hogs in these early parts of the games, that's going to set the team up really nice for success later on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about what Tony Vitello had to say on Fox Sports Knoxville yesterday. You can go back and check that out in the podcast, of course. But now let's talk about the other big coach here in the city, as actually Coach Josh Heupel went on a couple of rounds. couple of media rounds around the city, around the state, talking a little bit about the football team heading into next year. And some of my biggest takeaways was that he was impressed by spring practice. He's ready to get Tennessee back to a place where it needs to be. But obviously, what's the one thing we all care about the most? The five quarterbacks on the roster, right? Some of these suspended players. And it's interesting to hear Coach Heupel kind of talk about the quarterback situation. Obviously, he's very much taking a wait-and-see approach. And we will likely know the starting quarterback maybe about 2 to 3 weeks out of the season. Now, I'd imagine that might get leaked out, especially when it does. It seems like a hard thing to keep a secret, but definitely sounds like Coach Heupel is taking his time to put these things together, to put the pieces in the right place as he gets this offense ready. Look, if you're Coach Heupel, you know that the offense has to be the driving engine of your team next year, right?
Yeah.
You have to know that that's where any bit of success is going to come from. You just have to outscore people.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a race. I mean, we talked about you're going to be maybe in a lot of games that where it's you need 40 points to win because we just feel like the defense might struggle, and it's going to be an offense that is going to score some points, or it might just be where you got to, you know, at least get 35 to win a lot of ball games. But yeah, you're going to have to outscore people. You don't have the amount of talent. I mean, we can see some bright, you know, diamonds in the rough on this defense, but I mean, across the board, you don't have the talent that you need to compete and to not have to just go out and score 30 points a game.
I'm actually feeling a whole lot better about this defense than I was a month ago.
You sure?
The additions of, pardon me, I'm blanking on his name from USC.
Caleb Tremblay.
Thank you. And then Juwan Mitchell and Dejon Terry, I think, you know, are three key pieces in three of the spots where you had your biggest holes. Now, by no means am I saying this will be a good defense or even a league average defense, but I think we've taken the step from, wow, guys, we might have to see the worst defense in the SEC of the last 10 years to, they'll be in the bottom, you know, two or three in the SEC. Maybe even float around league average if they, you know, play mm-hmm. really well. And that's about as much as we can ask for, I mean, right, at least this year. And now, like you guys were saying, you're going to have to score a lot of points to win games. I think, you know, the Alabama game, Georgia, Florida, teams of that caliber, you're probably going to need 40 points at minimum to win.
Yeah, and looking back at even my notes from the spring game, the orange and white game that Tennessee had on, I believe, what was that, April 24th? So maybe just a couple of weeks ago. Reading here from my notes, the first team defense was on the field for 7 drives. Each was against the second team offense, except for the very final drive. And the first team defense only gave up 2 touchdowns the entire series out of those 7 drives, and the final two, and they were in the final 2 drives of the game. So really, when you're looking at the first team defense going up against that first team offense or second team offense, they held their own. They didn't give up a touchdown for a while, and it was kind of just at the end. And then when they went up against the ones, and we know that Tennessee's just got a stacked offense, so I kind of understand that. But it was the second unit that really, really struggled for Tennessee. The second unit gave up touchdowns on 5 out of their 6 drives in that spring game. So we know one thing for sure, Tennessee has a big depth problem. Once you get through those first stringer guys, you don't really have much behind them that can really compete at this level. And granted, the second team unit was going up against the first team unit, so they're at a little bit of a disadvantage already. But I agree with Charlie, man, adding in those 3 guys to the defense, does it help the depth that much? I'm not sure, but what it does make sure that is your starting lineup is going to be good to go. Hopefully a guy like Dejon Terry can work his way and start and be a productive player consistently throughout the season. It's got to be one of the guys that I'm most fired up to see on the field. Big Dejon Terry with only 3 years of football experience.
Uh-huh.
That is crazy. I mean, we talk about a guy who is the definition of Monday nights in pro wrestling. He is raw. He is a raw talent. And we'll see what Tennessee can do with him.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. This is size, the measurables, all the potential's there. Is if they can, you know, turn him into a SEC caliber player and continue to develop him.
Yeah, and I remember even a lot of people kind of saying, pointing to the fact that like, this is a Kansas guy, right? And it's a 3-star from Kansas. Mm-hmm. Like, is he really that good? You got to think about the fact that he wasn't ever a football player heading into college. Except maybe right there at the end. And then he was a project more than anything else, right? This was a guy that you knew was coming in. He was going to have to cut a lot of weight. Were teams confident that he was going to take all the appropriate steps to get himself in shape and to get himself into be a great football player? That's exactly what he did. But obviously, leading into that, it was a little bit uncertain, right? You looked at that recruit like, okay, he's got something here, but is he really going to put the work in to learn the game? Is he really going to put in the work to drop 50 pounds and be able to play on that defensive line with more speed and agility? The answer was yes, and that's why you see him moving on from Kansas. I don't think this is just a 3-star recruit who went to Kansas, and that's the best offer he had. It probably was to an extent, but the way that he has developed since then really is turning him into an interesting prospect on this Tennessee team now.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, man. So you got some exciting things to look at, but Coach Heupel is definitely kind of, at least to me, taking his time to put all these pieces together. And again, definitely seems to know that the offense has to be worked out, because I don't think the defense is going to win you any games. Maybe if they can get a stop, late in the game in a 40 burner matchup. But man, it's going to be an interesting offseason here in Tennessee. We will we'll continue a little bit of the conversation here as we take a break here in a minute. There's still a ton of things to get into that is on the menu, so we might fly through a couple topics, but hey, you're not going to want to miss a single one. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Jamie here, Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, with the easiest
whiskey, women, music, and smoke. It's where all the cowboy folk go.
All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 11:34 a.m. Got some nice tunes for you here on a Thursday morning. Always love to hear this song. It's a toe tapper. A good head nodder.
It's a rump shaker.
It's a bop. Oh, rump shaker.
Yeah.
Oh, like our former coach. Remember
Chris Rump?
Yeah, Chris Rump. Chris Rump Shaker. Yeah. That's a good one. It's a good one. All right, gentlemen. So next up on the Blitz, what we got to get into for a minute here is something that we mentioned at the end of yesterday's show that we would hit today, and that is a little bit of an update on the Tennessee NIL bill legislation. Now, I'm going to read this out directly from 247 Sports so I don't make sure I miss any of the wording, because and the wording is a little bit confusing. And if you miss one of these words, it can completely change the effect of what you're trying to say. So here's what I'm getting from Austin Nivison on 247 Sports. On Wednesday, Tennessee joined several other states in signing its name, image, and likeness bill into law. On top of that, student-athletes at in-state universities will not have to wait nearly as long to cash in on their name, image, and likeness. Following the passage of the state's NIL bill, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed it into law on Wednesday. The law was originally supposed to take effect on July 1st, 2022, but a late amendment changed the date to July 1st, 2021, bringing it up an entire year and only making it about 2 months away or so. Now, student athletes within the state are just weeks away from benefiting from this legislation. The bill would affect two schools, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and one more power basketball school in Memphis. Tennessee joins Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi among states that have such laws, according to the Business of College Sports NIL Bill Tracker. So, going back a little bit, again, talking about an interview that was on Fox Sports Knoxville yesterday, David Ubben was on the station, and he had a couple of interesting quotes. I'll go ahead and read that out, and then I really want to hear y'all's opinions on what is going down here in the state. So what David Ubben had to say: the NIL deal going into effect is going to be unpredictable and have unforeseen consequences, but it's the right thing to do, so you do it. There is not a case against it. There is just not. He also said Tennessee, that was his big quote on the NIL bill. So, hey, I'll throw this on the table. What do you guys make of this bill going into effect, and not just that, but it now being only weeks away from being in use?
I think I like what Tennessee did. Most time Tennessee is behind when it comes to sense of urgency. I mean, you look around, whether you're on one side of this where you don't really care for it and you want to talk about the free books and tuition and this is going to ruin the integrity of the game, or the other side and you're like, it's about time. You had to do it to keep up. You can't let the rest of was it already Tennessee was what, the 14th state?
15th.
15th, 14th or 15th. You can't let Georgia get ahead of you, Alabama get ahead of you, Florida. All the teams in the SEC get ahead of you with this, and because it is a recruiting tactic. Like, let's just face it, it is. And,
oh, my God, yeah.
And you couldn't be last in flight for this.
Yeah.
You just could not.
After
so
people
it's,
have been going.
So it's, awesome that Bill Lee recognized this. And, you know, this had to be some people who know the landscape of collegiate athletics, like, hey, we need to get this in order to help, you know, flagship station of the state. I mean, flagship station, flagship university of the state. Like, you had to do things like that. Like, you just had to, because whether you like it or not, these other states are about to scoot on past you. And, you know, we don't care so much about, and we do care so much about, like, California and places out west, but, like, we definitely care about everybody in the Southeastern Conference. And, yep. And what their state's doing. So I think the sense of urgency was key.
Look, I mean, you guys know, anyone that's listened to me at any point in the last year knows that I'm pretty anti-paying players. I'm not a huge proponent of the NIL rules, but you're spot on, Chance. The fact of the matter is, whether I like it or not, whether I believe that, you know, we've kind of rushed into it without considering the potential pitfalls. Regardless of all of that, 14 out of the states have already done it. The SEC, most of the southern states have already done it, and we have to join in or else we will fall behind even further than we already are with our football program, with recruiting, and among other sports as well, with basketball, baseball. I mean, it's a necessity at this point, whether we like it or not. So, you know, January 1st, 2022, it goes into effect, and I'm excited.
Now, I do hope there can be some uniformity across the table, right? Or else you do start getting into these bigger recruiting advantages. And I do think that we should be on track to have the name, image, likeness bill in effect. But I do want it kind of universal across all states. I mean, at least in the SEC or something along that. And I do believe that there's some, you know, there's a little bit of delay as they're trying to make that a national, right, kind of bill go through. But, you know, there's been a little bit of scuttlebutt about certain teams, you know, and how this might affect things, or, you know, certain schools taking away a certain pay cut, right, of what a player makes on their own, which doesn't make any sense to me. If a player from Tennessee who is from California wants to go out to California and make a camp, a quarterback camp, about themselves, you know, with their own name on it, then why would Tennessee have any ability to take money away that they made all the way over on the west side of the country? So I do want there to be some kind of uniformity, and I do think that would be really important to figuring this thing out. But either way, this is now what's going to happen. You're just going to see it, right? You're going to see Tennessee football players advertising for the car dealerships. You're going to see them on TV channels. You're going to see them, you know, saying that, hey, Jamba Juice is their favorite smoothie in the city. Something along those lines. But just know that, hey, it is coming down the wire. It is.
Yeah, you had to keep up. I mean, this is a competitive advantage that certain states are going to have over other states, and like we've all said, you couldn't be left behind. No matter where you stand on the side of the fence of this, Tennessee had to do what they had to do, the state to keep up its collegiate, you know, athletic programs and football being number one.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that it didn't take as long as things tend to do for Tennessee legislative measures, but I'm also happy to see it on a personal level. I agree with it, and I think that we always preach capitalism and people should be able to make their own money. I think these guys should be able to make their own money.
Yeah, and I do think this
off
is
of their God-given name, and they're right. I mean, this is my
their
name.
Image.
Yeah, their image, their likeness, like,
this
let them make their
me.
Money.
I'm a yeah. human being.
It's not so much as, and we know the money that gets you know, passed around on the back end, and the shady dealings, and the McDonald's bags, and the brown paper bags, and the bagmans. But yeah, why shouldn't as an elite athlete, be able to go out and do a baseball camp with my name tagged to it, or you know, do some give some golf lessons, give some pitching lessons to the local youth, and make some cash where I don't and where I don't have to have a full time gig, and then be also student athlete and maybe not being able to afford, because although they get a stipend, they get a lot of money. Some of these guys still have to work and pay for a lot of things. Some of these guys, they don't have enough money for cars. Mommy and daddy didn't buy them a car. Mommy and daddy couldn't afford them a car. They may only have a mom or a dad. And, like, they have to work also to supplement their income as much as the university will allow them to pay for things in their life that they want, whether it's to go out on a date, whether it's to gas money back and forth, whether it's to buy clothes, whether it's – sometimes it's they need to work to send money home.
I mean, you say that, and, you know, I agree to an extent, but, you know, at these Power 5 universities, there aren't, at least at the football level, players that are contributing to the success of the team that aren't getting enough money to be able to afford to live. Well, based on the stipends and the other money that you receive.
I mean, you would say that, but like, I don't know their personal situations is what I'm saying. Like, it goes beyond.
I'm just saying, like, the guys that aren't making enough money that need to work the second jobs and such like that are the guys at the smaller schools where there isn't necessarily the money there in the first place to make,
but
if you're allowed to.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people kind of go back to this thing of, you know, it's not going to be equal. It's not going to be fair. You know, a football player is always going to get paid more than somebody else, but isn't that just kind of the way that things work? I mean, I know that
you have more talent.
It's unfortunate that a Tennessee men's tennis player, right, might not have as many advertising deals as a football player, but, like, unfortunately, that's just the way that things work. Every time a new business pops up in the city, we don't have to equally put it on the map and put it, you know, on the level of every other business in the city. If it is successful, if it makes money, if it can do that kind of thing, then of course it's going to grow, but it's not, it's just the way that things work. Yeah, and there's going to be some people paid more than others, but also these players have to go do this on their own. Like, they will be having to go, you know, go and shoot a commercial. They're going to have to go and do a product testing or something to those lines. So it's not just, hey, every player is going to be able to use their name, image, likeness, and they're just going to get a free flowing money and things like that. No, you still got to put the work in for it. You still have to go out and likely make some of those deals happen. You still have to go out and put the work when they need you to be a spokesperson, a representative, because that's what you're going to be.
The other side of the conversation when it comes to compensating college athletes is basically I feel like the decision needs to be made. Do you want to compensate athletes, or do you want to have Title IX and fairness among athletic programs? Because both are not possible.
I agree. It's interesting. It's a fascinating conversation that we are just weeks away from actually talking about, as some of these players will be able to start using their name.
January 1st, 2022. The initial report was wrong, and they went back and corrected it. It doesn't go into effect until 2022.
Oh, okay. My apologies. My apologies. So the
beginning of next
year.
Yeah, everyone thought that it was in a couple weeks, and then someone was like, wait, no, we just asked. We found out. We dug in, and it turns out it's 2022.
Okay, gotcha. So, well, thanks for clarifying that.
It's not
that.
In July?
No. It'll be January 1st, 2022.
So they moved it up about 6 or 7 months or so, but not the entire year. And that does make sense. I mean, this would be kind of an interesting thing to go into just 3 or 4 weeks from now. But either way, a little bit of a conversation there about Tennessee's NIL bill being signed into effect by Governor Bill Lee. All right, gentlemen, it's about that time. Show has flown by. We're making our way into the final segment. Get a little If You Haven't Heard in the Days of the Day. We got a banger coming up next.
Never knew that I could feel this much, but this yearning in the deep part of my heart for you is more than a reaction to your touch. It's a perfect passion, and I can't get enough. Out past where the blacktop ends, we'd walk to church on Sunday morning, race barefoot back to Johnson's Fence.
Man, back-to-back days.
That's where I first saw
back-to-back days. Show's flown by.
On that roadside picking blackberries.
I like it. I like it. We got fun stuff to talk about right now, even though there's not a ton of news actually on the table. But hey, either way, there's still a lot of fun stuff to get into. I always like when the shows fly by. It makes me know that we're having a little bit of fun. But that being said, gentlemen, we got about 5-6 minutes left in the show today. What do you say we always do here? What we do best right here in this position. We do a little if you haven't heard, and then we get into the days of the day. How do y'all feel?
Let's do it.
All right.
If you haven't heard.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Neon Moon Charlie.
Shut up.
Brooks and Dunn Charlie, go ahead.
If you haven't heard, doozy of a story going on in West Tennessee right now.
What's happening? There
is a crack in the bridge.
Oh, my God. I heard about this.
On I-40 that connects Tennessee to Arkansas.
They found
during a routine inspection on a very important
section of support for one of the trusses. Oh boy,
a nice size crack.
Like that is not good.
They have shut down the bridge immediately, as well as all passage underneath the bridge via river.
So they have shut down the river as well, because I would imagine that, you know, your equipment and things to get under the bridge, you got to go through the river aspect,
which is disastrous. They have rerouted everyone now. There is a detour, but. You know, I don't know how that's going to affect
all these boats and delays that
certainly travel down the Mississippi, because I don't know if you guys know this or not, but that's a pretty important waterway, pretty important passage there.
We have our
own. I don't really know how easily that you can just reroute your boat trips if you're just avoiding a very important segment of the Mississippi River, which is the most traveled river in America.
All right, help me out here. What was the boat story a couple weeks ago? The canal.
The Suez Canal.
The Suez Canal. Okay, that's what I was thinking. We have our own little Suez Canal situation right here in West Tennessee. No boats can get through.
Speculation would be that this is probably going to cause some issues in America.
Oh, it's not like we don't have enough already.
But
shortages, delays, passage blocking, cracks in the system. Woo! We got some stuff to deal with
not
here.
Not good.
Not good. Not good. Let's see. How about this? If you haven't heard, some interesting – this comes from Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. Some interesting information as we await the 20 teams who could potentially host regionals on Friday. And that basically being said, the announcement for those regionals will be tomorrow. So hopefully we get that on our show. If not, stay tuned to Fox Sports Knoxville.
No way we get that on our
as
show.
The, we'll get it about right now on the show tomorrow. That's what typically happens. But be looking out for that tomorrow, as the hosting announcement is coming out tomorrow.
The new host of what?
So for the regional tournaments in the college baseball tournament, they should be out on Friday morning.
Gotcha.
According to Kendall Rogers.
T-Dot and A-Dot says that cracking that bridge could take months, too, by the way.
You're kidding. I mean, you can't just shut it down for that long, right?
No, you have to because of safety. The inspector, I mean, you could potentially have a bridge collapse.
And it's not like you can just rush through fixing it either, because you got to make sure that it's good they caught it
because they could have had a lot of people die if the bridge collapsed.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Would you shut it down for months or have people die?
And if the bridge collapses too, not only do a lot of people die.
Lawsuit negligence.
Not only is there a lawsuit negligence, but then rebuilding the bridge instead of a couple months would probably take like a year.
Yeah,
minimum. Maybe a year and a half or so.
Wow. All right. So people on the west side of the state, maybe you're... Hopefully everything's all right.
We're closer to like everything than Memphis.
Got a little stats and info. After 12 Ks and zero walk performance last night, Gerrit Cole has struck out 56 batters since his last walk.
Wow.
That matches the longest stretch in a single season by any pitcher since the mound moved to its current distance in 1893. Hat tip to Elias Sports. Also, on Wednesday night, Russell Westbrook recorded 34 points and 15 assists. He became the third player in NBA history with three straight games of 25 points and 15 assists, joining Tiny Archibald and Oscar Robertson. And earlier this week, he also took out Oscar Robertson for the most triple-doubles in career history with 181. Another little tidbits and info. Browns face the Ravens in Week 12. We talked about schedules. The Browns will then have their bye. Then play again in Week 14. The only instance since the merger of teams facing the same opponent in consecutive regular season games was 1991, when the Seahawks and Chargers played consecutive games with a bye in between.
Huh.
Last one for stats and info for you today. This also comes with Live Sports, ESPN Stats and Info. Washington football team will finish the 2021 season with five straight games against the NFC East. They are the first team under the current division format since 2002.
Wow.
And the first team since the 1995 Buccaneers,
who
will finish the season with five consecutive divisional games.
Listen to this. Dallas, filthy. Dallas, filthy. New York.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Also, last one for stats and info, five teams are scheduled to travel at least 25,000 miles this season. The Jaguars are one of the five who play outside of the Pacific time zone, along with 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, and Chargers.
Very interesting.
Stats got a chance.
Yeah, I've been trying to throw that in.
Very nice.
End of the show.
It has helped.
National Day Calendar, May 13th, Thursday, 2021. It's National Frog Jumping Day.
Thank goodness.
Like a leapfrog.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Let's do a leapfrog outside.
Apple Pie Day. I love apple pie.
Dude, who doesn't love
crumb apple pie, vanilla ice cream?
You're not American if you don't.
National Fruit Cocktail Day. And one of my favorites, Love Caesar Salads. It's National Crouton Day.
Oh, I love it.
Pretty solid day.
Dude,
all
I love a good crouton.
Good stuff.
I love that. Hey, you know what else I love? Talk Sports. They're going to be on from 12 to 3. They're coming up next. But hey, thanks for hanging out with us today on The Blitz. We'll see you back tomorrow, same time, same place. Let's get ready to beat number one, Arkansas. I spend most every night.